Alaykum wa rahmatullah. Before I start, I just would like to apologize. Last week, we did not have this lecture because there was an unexpected invitation. I had to attend the World Federation meetings and there was no time to reach here and prepare and present. My apologies. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been disqualified from God's kingdom of special mercy because of his arrogance and because of his defiance. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We humbly turn towards him and ask for his special grace because we believe he is the all perfect one, the all merciful one, and the one whose special grace is abundantly available to those who believe in him and who submit to his will. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. We send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. In our discussion on a brief commentary on Dua Kumail, we said before the recitation of this Dua, we need to remind ourselves about the significance of this Dua. The fact that, number one, the person who requests and makes a special request for this Dua is not an ordinary person. Kumail bin Ziyad is one of the members of the elite group of companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And because Imam's knowledge is vast, the type of knowledge and the depth of knowledge that can be taken from him will depend on the seeker and the one who requests for it. And secondly, the fact that the request was made for a dua which was extraordinary, the dua was dua of Khidr. Khidr alayhi salam, you notice in Surah Kahf, where his meeting and his travels with Prophet Musa is discussed, the status of Khidr can be gauged from the fact that Musa alayhi salam seeks to see him. Musa is one of the chief Ulul Azm prophets. Musa, when he meets him, says that, would you allow me, look at his humility, can I join you? Can I become your student? And thirdly, the fact that Musa alayhi salam tells Khidr that, I will obey whatever you tell me. I will not disobey. لا أعصي لك أمرا. For a prophet to make a pledge not to disobey another person would mean that that other person definitely is a ma'asum. Otherwise that teacher or master may ask him to do something according to his own understanding and desires which may conflict with Allah's will, and whereby Musa then would not be permitted to obey. If Musa makes a pledge, I will obey you, definitely that man's status is so high that he will never disobey God. Khidr was not an ordinary person, therefore. And therefore, the dua of Khidr is not an ordinary dua. And number three, the fact that Imam alayhi salam gives him audience, a private audience, a secluded audience, exclusive audience, and then teaches him this dua. And number four, the fact that Imam alayhi salam tells him that even if a person were to recite this dua once in a lifetime, it has this power to be able to transform this individual and have all his sins forgiven. All this indicate that this is not an ordinary dua. Next slide, please. Next. One quick glance at the main themes that have been covered in this dua, we could categorize them into six main themes. In the first paragraph, Imam alayhi salam mentions 10 names. O Allah, I pray to you by these names. Which could be summarized to say that, O Allah, I pray you by those names whereby I know that you know my problems, number one. And number two, I know you have the power to solve my problems. And number three, I know you are merciful and kind enough and loving enough to want to solve my problems. The question is, do I deserve to be helped by you? And then he makes the request, "Oh Allah, I want to reach close to you. As'aluka an tudniyani min qurbik, but I can't reach close to you unless you forgive me my sins." Next, and the next paragraph then discusses the utter helplessness that Imam alayhi salam experiences in front of Allah. And I said this paragraph could be considered as a tafsir of the ayah, "Amman yujibu al-mudtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'." Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatuh. And the third paragraph, Imam alayhi salam analyzes why is it that he or any sinner gets trapped in this situation where he needs to ask for forgiveness. "Oh Allah, I testify that you have given me all the blessings. And then when I was tested, I did not follow your will. I followed my desires. Therefore, I am to blame and not you." In the fourth paragraph, Imam alayhi salam then, after confessing and after repenting, talks to Allah in a tone which is not possible for ordinary people to talk with Allah. See, if a person had committed a major sin, that person doesn't even have the right to talk to God. But Imam alayhi salam is talking to God from a status of being a favorite person near God. "If you were to send me there, I will not keep silent, and I will shout, and I will cry, and I will weep, and I will announce to all the hell dwellers that in my whole life on the earth, I always worshipped you. By my eyes, by my ears, by my tongue, by my heart, by my body. How can you then punish me in the fire of hell? Maybe I could tolerate the fire of hell. Maybe. But there is no way I can tolerate distance from you." Not an ordinary person can claim that. And finally, Imam alayhi salam in the last paragraph then says, "I want on this layla, on this night, all my sins to be forgiven. I want my whole life to change. And me to be in total and persistent khidma, wa bi khidmatika mawsula, wa bi dhikrika ma'mura. I want my heart to always remember you. I want my whole body to be always in your service." That's the pinnacle of the request Imam alayhi salam makes from God. Next slide, please. So we were discussing the first paragraph. We've seen the 10 names. And then we were discussing the sins which Imam alayhi salam says, "I want you to forgive me so that I can get close to you." Next slide, please. Next. The ultimate goal for Imam alayhi salam is proximity to God. But the major obstacle are sins. Sins by nature, according to this ayah in the Quran, sins by nature are those acts where, A, I do know that this has been prohibited by God. If I don't know, I could be excusable. I know it. Two, I have the power not to do it. If I'm forced to do it, Allah will forgive me. Three, knowingly, not forgetful. Deliberately, not by force, I disobey God. That's a sin. That's punishable. That act of arrogance, "Oh, I think I'm smarter than you." That act of defiance, "Oh, I know you've asked me, but I don't care. I will still disobey." This act of arrogance and defiance brings about a change in the heart, which automatically distances the heart away from God. This attitude, if it continues and builds up and becomes a habit, it has the danger of damaging the heart irreparably. Notice this ayah in Surah Mutaffifin, chapter 83, where Allah says, you know, "Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin." Surely the record of the sinners shall be in sijjin. "Wama adraka ma sijjin, kitabun marqum." وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. that the sinner is the one who then begins to doubt in God, and finally he begins to deny God, and therefore he denies the hellfire. Then question, why? Why does this person reach this stage? Answer, kalla. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Their hearts have been damaged by their persistent, repetitive sins. This act of defiance and arrogance. A sin based on ignorance, a sin based on forgetfulness, a sin based on compulsion can be forgiven, but not the arrogant, defiant one. It damages the heart. Kalla, innahum ar rabbihim yawma'idhin lamahjubun. They reach a point where they become blind, they become deaf, and they are not ready or incapable now of seeing the truth or understanding the truth, even if you talk to them or explain to them. The heart is damaged. That is the danger of sins. And therefore Imam alayhi salam says, I need to have these sins forgiven before I can reach close to the all-perfect being, before I can purify myself, and before I can reach the highest levels of perfection. Next slide, please. And therefore he asks, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunuba allati tahtiku al-'isam, an tunzilu an-niqam, an tughayyiru an-ni'am, an tahbisu ad-du'a, and tunzilu al-bala. We've discussed those sins which tear the cover of decency and innocence that Allah has blessed every human being with. Next, Imam alayhi salam says, forgive me those sins allati tunzilu an-niqam. Niqam, plural of niqma. Niqma is punishment. Tunzilu, it is sent down. Allah is the one who normally sends down rain, mercy, grace. But on some occasions, some people deserve to be punished, and that also is sent down from above. If you look at the Quran, there is extensive discussion of punishment and what brings down punishment. One help and indicator of what are those acts which invite punishment is the riwayat. There's one riwayah from the 6th Holy Imam, and there's another riwayah from the 4th Holy Imam, where they have said that those sins are, one, al-baghi, baghi, rebelliousness, baghi, transgression, baghi, when you know the limits. This is how social life should be, this is how economic life should be, this is how cultural life should be. Deliberately you break and transgress and cross those limits, that's baghi. And number two, وَالتَّطَاوُلْ عَلَى النَّاسِ, and then to violate the rights of other human beings, that also brings down the punishment. And finally, number three, وَالْإِسْتِهْزَاءَ بِهِمْ, and to ridicule and degrade and disrespect them. Next slide, please. Consider the verses in the Quran which talk about punishment which is sent down by God. There are numerous verses. We'll just consider a few examples. One is in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, ayah number 59. But in order to appreciate the ayah itself, look at the context. Ayah number 40, Allah discusses, Ya Bani Israel, udhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. O Bani Israel, try to recall the different blessings I have granted you. Ayah number 47, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, and I have elevated you to be the best of the people in your time. Ayah number 49 then says, and you remember you were under oppression and we enabled you to get liberation from Fir'aun. وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. In ayah number 51, وَإِذْ وَاعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلًا. Look at the other blessing we gave you. 40 nights we invited Musa for specific, exclusive communication. In his absence, you deviated and you started worshipping the calf, the golden calf. Material attractions distracted you away from God. When Musa came back, he was furious at your rebelliousness. But then we forgave and we pardoned you. And then again you rebelled. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكْ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. Musa, we will not believe you unless you show us God physically, visible. I mean, we saw the golden calf and we used to worship that. We want to see God physically, material. That's when we'll believe you. And Musa said, all right, why don't you select an elite from your group and we shall go and meet the Lord. And they go there, and then there's a lightning where the mountain collapses, and they are struck dead, those elite. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And then we brought you back to life so that you may be thankful of the guidance that was given to you, of the forgiveness that was given to you. After all this, then comes the discussion of this ayah. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ. And you remember when you were told that, why don't you mobilize yourself and be ready to sacrifice and defend your rights and fight against the evil oppressors? And you said, no, Musa, you're asking too much from us. You and your Lord, you go and fight against the evil oppressors. Once you remove them, then we shall listen to you. And then we punished you by exiling you into the desert. 40 years Bani Israel were left in the desert wandering purposelessly as a punishment for their refusal to take up arms to fight against the evil oppressors. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ. And we send down shade and clouds on you. وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. Do you remember? In the desert, we didn't abandon you. We did provide you rizq. You couldn't see any oases, any streams flowing, any trees or fruits, but we sent food for you. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Notice, we didn't make any dhulm on them. They're the ones who made dhulm on themselves. We showed them the path, they rejected. We showed them the miracle, they refused to accept. We forgave and pardoned their mistakes, they became rebellious again. They made demands, irrational. Dhulm, dhulm, dhulm. And then Allah punishes them in return for that dhulm. Finally, this ayah, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا أُدْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ. Then we said, alright, now your punishment period is over. Come back from the desert to the city. Enter Jerusalem. إِذْ قُلْنَا أُدْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ. And you can enjoy all the fruits and abundance which is there in Jerusalem and the surrounding farms. رَغَدًا. Eat as much as you can. وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ السُّجَّدَ. But you enter in humility with sajda. The moment you enter the worship place, go and make sajda out of thanks. Incidentally, it's musta when you enter a mosque to make sajda, salah of tahiyya. وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ السُّجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ. And ask for forgiveness for your rebelliousness and the mistakes that you've been doing. نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. We shall forgive you. But the condition is, our mercy is abundant, but the condition is, you become remorseful. They refused. The next ayah says, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. They started making fun. They were told, say, حِطَّةٌ. They said, حِنْطَةٌ. حِنْطَة is wheat. It's the name of a food. حِطَّةٌ is equivalent to saying, Astaghfirullah. They made fun of even the little guidance that was given to them. They were so stubborn, so adamant, so arrogant, so ignorant. That's the dhulm that they did. In return, فَأَنزَلْنَا. We sent down on them. Conclusion. فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. And therefore, finally, we found that these were a people who don't deserve to be blessed anymore. And we sent down punishment from above. Rijzan min as-samaa. The tafsir of rijz is that it was a plague. Plague meaning a fast-spreading epidemic disease which either hurt them or even caused them to die. Next slide, please. The conclusion being this. That Allah normally in His vast, unlimited mercy keeps on showering down with blessings and grace. But there are some people who are arrogant, who are defiant, who are ignorant, who oppose and who rebel. To them, for their dhulm, then rijz is sent down from above. Next slide. This is another example. Sorry, yeah. Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, ayah number 117. مثل الذين ينفقون في الحياة الدنيا كمثل ريح فيها صر. Those people who reject the truth, even if they do good, if they are disbelievers, if the proof has been shown to them and they've understood the proof of the right message and they refuse to accept, but otherwise they try to do good acts. There is one problem with those good acts. The example of those good acts is like a farm, a tillage, which is full of harvest fruits or produce, and then suddenly a hot blowing wind out of extremely cold blink, sir, could be either extremely hot or extremely cold wind blows over the produce, whatever their earnings were. They used their earnings as acts of charity to do something good. But look at the end result. A cold wind blows and the frost kills the harvest and the produce. أَصَابَهَا صِرٌ. Why? Because ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَأَهْلَكَتْهُ. And then it destroys it. The destruction is visited from above. تُنزِلُ النِّقَمْ. The niqma comes from above. Why? Because they made ظُلْم. ظُلْم. Why? Because when the truth is shown to you, either you read the Quran and see the message, or you hear something which is right, or no, somebody else shares with you something right, or no, you see a reality around you, an experience, and your eyes open up and you've understood the truth, and yet later on you go back to your wrongful, sinful life. That is the dhulm. And then whatever good you may do, you think you are successful, but Allah can send — this is a parable, this is an example — Allah can send a cold wind and destroy all the produce and the harvest that has come to you. And Allah doesn't do dhulm on people. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They wrong themselves. There is no possibility for Allah to do dhulm. In Surah Nisa, Allah says, لَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. Allah doesn't make dhulm even to the amount of — if you've seen these dates, the stone of the date, the seed of the date, sometimes is covered by a single thin thread. To the Arab mind, an example of the smallest thing that you can imagine, you see how thin this thread is? Allah will not make dhulm to even according to this amount. لا يظلمون فتيلا. Another ayah he says, لا يظلمون نقيرا. Allah will not make dhulm even to the smallest amount of speck of dust on the date stone. لا يظلمون شيئا. Allah will never make dhulm on them, even to the smallest amount imaginable. They are the ones who make dhulm on themselves, and therefore they are visited by punishment. Next slide, please. Again, the same message repeated in Surah Yunus, that وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Do you remember? Do you study history? Do you realize when you go north from Mecca or Medina towards Sham, you see the remains of certain communities, past historical communities? Or when you travel south in your trade visits to the Yemen, between Mecca and Yemen, you see the remains and the traces of previous civilizations. Why don't you open your eyes? Do you know why they were destroyed? Dhulm. But the dhulm they did after the message was delivered to them. Allah does not destroy a people until and unless messengers are sent to them. 1. 2. The message is delivered in clear terms. 3. That message is understood by those people. 4. They refuse to accept. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا. When they do the dhulm. وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْقَوْمَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And that is how we shall also punish, sent down punishment from above, for anyone who then deliberately makes dhulm. Next slide, please. And this is another example. The message is the same, but the main message of this ayah is that the punishment from Allah doesn't come down instantaneously after the dhulm is done. Sometimes Allah gives time to that community. Maybe some in the community will wake up. After enough time is given, after enough messages are sent, after enough signs are shown, and the last possibility of anyone to open their eyes has now been exhausted, now there's no more chance of anyone in that community to wake up, then the final punishment comes down. So this message is, they have been given a tryst, a date when they shall be destroyed. Don't doubt God's power. You make dhulm, there is punishment. But the punishment can be delayed for several reasons. One of them is to enable everyone to make tawbah and come back. If it doesn't happen, then definitely the punishment shall strike. Next slide, please. And the second group of sins which then invite punishment, Imam Ali Salah, fourth Imam says, are when you trample and violate other people's rights. The list of rights is huge. One reference you can make is to the Risalatul Huquq of the Imam Zainul Abideen, where he's talking about the rights that the body has on us, the rights of the eyes and the ears and the tongue and the hands and the legs, the rights of the different acts, Salah and Saum, the rights of different people, superior by power, who is the ruler and the leader, superior by knowledge, who's our teacher, superiority by ownership if you're a slave, the rights of subordinates, the ruler has to recognize their rights and leaders have to recognize their rights of the citizens, rights of the students, of the spouse, rights of relatives. Next slide, please. And then in the social arena, there's a whole list of people whose rights have to be observed. The benefactor who makes ihsan to us, he has a right over us. The muadzin, the imam of the salah, our colleague, our neighbor, our partner, the debtor, creditor, plaintiff. Plaintiff is one who makes a complaint against us in the court. Defendant, the one against whom a charge has been made. The counselor who gives us advice. The client who seeks advice has got a right over us. The elders, the younger, the inquirer who comes to inquire something, the expert from whom we seek answers, the one who abuses us, verbally or physically, he also has a right. And the public in general and the non-Muslims have rights. The list is obviously extensive, we can't go into the details, but reference should be made to this, because anyone's right is violated, automatically we have made dhulm, and dhulm invites punishment. Next slide, please. Finally, in the riwayat, we are told to be careful about one particular type of dhulm, and that is labeled as the worst dhulm, afhashul dhulm. The worst dhulm is the dhulm which we may do or violate the rights of an individual, a victim who is helpless, who's got nobody to defend or support that person. That's the worst dhulm you can do. The riwayah says, Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, on his deathbed, the fourth Imam called me, he embraced me, my father, and then he said, let me advise you something which I heard from my father, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, before he went to the battlefield, and which advice was given to him by his father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. From generation to generation, this one piece of advice, the most important regard we should have of other people's right. Don't ever make dhulm on a person who has got nobody to defend him but God. Iyaka wa dhulma man la yajidu alayka nasiran illallah. Beware, beware. Don't ever violate the rights of someone who cannot defend himself, who doesn't have another person to defend himself, whose only defense is God. God can defend him. Beware of that dhulm. And therefore, we find Imam Ali alayhi salam in khutbah number 224. He says, Wallahi, dhulm, no dhulm Imam alayhi salam tolerated. Wallahi, la'an abita, I swear it is easy for me to sleep at night. Ala hasak sa'dan. Hasak is a thorn. Sa'dan is a tree which is thorny. So if you can imagine a mattress or a bed cover which is thorny, which is spiny. It's easier for me to spend night ala hasak sa'dan musahada. I don't even get sleep the whole night. Aw an ujarra fil aghlali musaffada, or that I should be covered in chains and be dragged, rather than
أحب إلي, it's easier for me, من أن ألقى الله والرسول ظالما. I meet Allah or I meet the Prophet in such a state that I have done ظلم to some of his servants. It's easier for me to spend the whole night on that spiny bed. أو غاصبا لشيء من الحطام, or that I have usurped and taken away unjustly and wrongfully somebody else's right or possession. This is the degree to which they guarded themselves from dhulm. This is the Imam who's saying, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tunzilu an-niqam. In a letter which he writes to one of his governors in Basra, this governor in Basra, Uthman bin Hunayf, was somehow being bribed by the rich and the powerful so that he could make policies in their favor, or shut his eyes when he saw corruption from them. When Imam was informed that his governor is now falling into the trap of being bribed, he writes to him a letter, an extensive letter, but there's one phrase where he talks about dhulm. Imam tells him, Uthman bin Hunayf, a very close companion of the Imam alayhi salam, and he was targeted specifically in the Battle of Jamal, and they arrested him and they humiliated him. Hair by hair, they plucked out his hair from the beard. He was oppressed. Uthman has been educated and alerted by the Imam. Imam alayhi salam tells him, Wallahi, لو أعطيت الأقاليم السبعة بما تحت أفلاكها. Uthman, remember this much, I swear, if I were to be given possessions, what, of Basra, of the rich of the Basra and the bribes that they're offering to you? No. If I were given, I was given the richness of the whole of Arabia. Arabia is one part of the world. If I were to be given the riches of all the continents in the world, Wallahi, لو أعطيت الأقاليم السبعة بما تحت أفلاكها أن أعصي الله, so that I disobey one command of God. Which one? And as في نملة, in an ant, أسلبها جلب شعيرة ما فعلت. I swear, even if there is a small piece of a grain in the mouth of an ant, and I'm asked to take away that rizq which is specific to that ant, so that I'm given the wealth of Basra? No. Of the whole of Arabia? No. The wealth of the whole of the world. To do this dhulm, Uthman, I'll never do it. This is the Imam who's saying, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tunzilu an-niqam. Forgive me those sins which invite punishment. And the biggest of them is dhulm. We've got a big responsibility. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam on Mondays used to make a dua. In that dua, he used to ask for forgiveness. Oh Lord, I may have hurt someone, and maybe I don't have access to him. Maybe I've done dhulm to him. Allahumma inni as'aluka fi mazalimi ibadik. Mazalim, if I've hurt someone, if I've done dhulm to someone, and I'm not aware of it, I'm asking for forgiveness. أيما عبد من عبيدك أو أمة من إمائك, any servant of yours, male or female, كانت له قبلي مظلمة, if there is some ظلم I've done to them, في نفسه أو في عرضه أو في ماله أو في أهله أو في ولده أو ولده, whether I've hurt him in his person or in his prestige or in his possessions or in his parents or in his children, in any way, if I've hurt him. أو غيبة اغتبته بها, or I have done his backbiting in his absence. أو تحامل عليه, or if I attacked him, or I've made him suffer. بميل أو هوى أو حمئة أو أنفة أو رياء أو عصبية, either out of greed, or out of selfish desire, or out of hatred, or out of extremism. For whatever reason, I may have hurt him and caused him to suffer. غائبا كان أو شاهدا, whether he is traveling or he is in the city, whether he is حيا كان أو ميتا, he is living or he is dead, and then I wish to reach to him but I can't reach him for whatever reason. فقصرت يدي على ردها إليه, I can't return what was wrongfully taken from him. أو I cannot ask for pardon from him. أو التحلل منه, make it halal for me. I spoke evil of you, I made it by mistake, please forgive me. I cannot correct and rectify the wrong that I have done, O Lord. I tried all my best to do it, but I can't. فَأَسْأَلُكَ يَا مَنْ يَمْلِكُ الْحَاجَاتِ Where else do I go? I'm in trouble. There is not one step I can take on the day of Qiyamah unless the dhulm that I've done to somebody else is forgiven. Oh Lord, I come back to you now. You solve my problem. يَا مَنْ يَمْلِكُ الْحَاجَاتِ وَهِيَ مُسْتَجِيبَةٌ لِمَشِيَتِكِ وَمُصْرِعَةٌ إِلَىٰ إِرَادَتِكِ You are the ones who can fulfill the needs of everyone and solve the problems of everyone. I ask you humbly, please first give me special grace. But before you give it to me, send your special grace on Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Once it reaches them, definitely they will turn to me and help me. أَنْ تُرْضِيَهُ عَنِّي Make him happy with me. Oh Allah, you control the hearts of everyone. I don't know where is this person. I can't reach him. If it was reachable, I would have returned. But I can't reach him. Or I do reach him, but he seems to be stubborn. He doesn't want to forgive me and pardon me. You're the one who controls the heart. Please, enable his heart to become friendly towards me. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq, to be able to realize the seriousness of dhulm. And definitely we make mistakes, and therefore we have to ask for forgiveness all the time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.